The all-new Divided, starring Mike Richards, will not be heard tonight because aren't his 15 minutes of fame already up? In its place, we present the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and if we're going to talk about being divided, not much division here this week. There's a lot of unity, much to the chagrin of people living on an island, or one person living on an island, much to the chagrin of a drag queen, who's pretty much was time has come, and much to the chagrin of almost everybody else. But we did have a united Jeopardy champion, which some people are mad, but I like a lot. And we're going to be installing a new game for WLTI, because we like new games.
Yeah, ooh.
New games are always fun on WLTI, especially when they are the creation of the man who brought the world Tic Tac Deal.
Who, me?
That would be you, yes. But
by the way, nice car went on Tic Tac Deal this week.
Yes, it was.
Before we talk about me, let's not talk about me. Let's talk about everything else that's going on in the world of game shows. Not a lot of time to do that, so let's move on. From somewhere in America, this episode of WLTI is on.
Let's go!
Let's go. Whee!
Whee! Welcome to episode number 437 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1 Studios. My name is Jason Bloch, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. And where has spring gone? Is winter trying to hang on? Is she like
winter always seems to overstay its welcome. Hi, I'm Chico Alexander. How y'all doing? With my brothers from another mother, Jason Bloch and Gordon Pepper. Boldly going through the... Sorry.
I'm sorry. Well, we're going through the week of game shows and causing a segue here. Winter's trying to hang on, and so is Banu over on Yanu. And no. Well, that doesn't rhyme, but bye-bye. It does. So yes. Let's chat about it. Jay, you go first.
So everybody was pissed off at Banu. Because, well, Vanu couldn't keep his big fat mouth shut, okay? And he was
Kenshi
like...
Kenshi is the mastermind. That's his words. Kenshi yes, is the and, mastermind.
Yes, and of course, yeah. And so while the tribe, while the other three tribe mates are going, you idiot, what are you talking about? We get tree mail and there was going to be a reward challenge for food. Okay, so, and Yanu was hoping that, you know, well, we don't have flint, so we can't cook it, so we need something else. So, the reward challenge was that tribes paddled through the water, untying a key, which they used to unlock rings, and you get them from a tall pole. Then you had to put the rings on the other pole to win reward. The first two tribes won 10 fish and 5 fish, along with ways to prepare them. Yanu, believe it or not, won.
What?
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. Excuse me. You can even play the Final Fantasy. Do it. Okay. So, Nami finished second, so Yanu said, we can't cook the fish. So we want the extra large tarp and a couple of other things to make our lives better. And Jeff said, cool beans, dude. So
I would have thought that they get flint with every challenge win, but apparently not.
No, it's the immunity challenge win.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. So what happens is that Banu, Q was saying, look, be more strategic. Don't talk much. Okay. So there was a lot of back and forth between, you know, at the Sega tribe, Maria found the lockbox and the whole tribe dug and got ants on their hands. Bad idea. Okay.
I don't know what's worse, Banu's gameplay or ants all over your hands.
Batu's gameplay. Sorry. Okay. Jem
Kenzie goes after him.
Right, exactly. So we go. So, Nami was basically saying you should get Soda out if they lost the immunity challenge. So what happens is that you this was an old classic Survivor immunity challenge. Go up the net, leap it to the ocean. Go up the crates and jump in again. Then two tribes then release buoys and you got the buoys into the targets. Now, not that Bonu was not already in deep moo poo, I'm going to use that term. When he dove off the crate, he missed the crate, so he had to go back, sending Yanu to a deep advantage. Okay? Let's see. The first two tribes won immunity, which happened to be, I believe it was Siga first, Nami second, and
fourth straight time, Yanu is going to Tribal Council.
Right,
this is going to be an easy vote.
It is going to be an easy vote, but then Yanu, I was embarrassed for him. He's like, please give me an idol. Please give me an idol. I'll do better. And I was just like, really? You're going to win? You're going to go out like that? They didn't even have to do a tribal. I was disgusted by what I saw. I really was.
Well, it's not even disgusting. You know, everybody, this is what I'm going to severely disagree with you here, Jay. Everybody has their own story to tell. Everybody's got their 15 minutes. You know, this is reality. This is what he did. You know, he wanted to live his dream and experience his dream. I have no problem with that. You know,
I have no problem with that.
I've definitely seen people do worse. And it's not often that, but again, you got to look at the position that he's in. He needed the idol. There's three people. They vote. He does not have a vote. He lost his vote in episode one. So he cannot play the shot in the dark because he has no vote to gamble off and to lose.
Right.
He needed an idol or he's gone. He didn't get the idol. He's gone. And everybody else said, you know what? Sorry. Yeah, this is great. Enjoy your four episodes. Bye-bye.
And the thing of it is, because this was actually perhaps one of the easiest decisions in Tribal Council history. And the thing of it is, usually there's like a strategic element behind who to vote for and when. Nope, they all just wanted Bonu gone at this point because he was too much of a liability. Am I right?
Yeah,
you are. And this isn't the first time that you've had a vote, that you've got a decision without having a vote, but this is the first time at Tribal Council. So, Yanu will go bye-bye. And maybe, a lot of things go bye-bye. Maybe they'll win a challenge, immunity challenge.
No, I think we're going to get a drop your buffs sort of deal. You got
Before
three
we do
people.
That, somebody's going to have to find out about Tim's beware advantage, because that's still a thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right now, moving on, a thing that is no longer happening is Jeopardy's, one tournament of champions. Now we'll have the Jeopardy Invitational coming up, but let's talk about...
Oh, I am happy. I'm happy because I have a new button for that.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Beautiful. So we go back to last Thursday. Ben has won, Troy has won as we go to game three. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Ben has 5,800, Yogesh 4,600, Troy's 2,800, Troy was zero at the first commercial break because he lost everything on an early daily double. But in Double Jeopardy, everybody decided to just go nuts. And we had a great second round, and Troy was in third place for 15,200. Ben had 17,800, but Yogesh had 29,006. Will he get his first game? The clue is the United Nations. Of the 9 countries that have produced a UN Secretary General, this nation is the only one from its hemisphere.
I know this.
Okay.
Because I spent, when I was preparing for Jeopardy, I spent a lot of time memorizing UN Secretaries General, which is one of those lists that you memorize when you're preparing for a major game show. And the man in question is Javier Perez de Cuellar, and he is from Peru.
And everybody got it right. Okay. Troy doubles up. Ben goes $1 over Troy. And Yogesh
right thing.
And bets $1 over Ben. And so then we are deadlocked at one.
Deadlocked at one as we go into the Friday show, where at the end of the Jeopardy round, Troy is up 8,000 to Yogesh 6,400. Ben's still in it at 1,800. And in the double Jeopardy round, yeah, we're just going to go through all of this again, where everybody's betting everything. And as a result, Troy has 33,200. Yogesh has 20,400. Ben has 12,800. Still all of it to play for as we go to the final Jeopardy category of Historic Americans. Here's your clue. Near Kirkbean on Solway Firth, U.S. Vice Admiral Gerald Wright presented a memorial plaque honoring this man.
I did not know this, but, and Ben was the only one who got right and said yes, and I'll give the answer. John Paul Jones was born in Scotland, and today there's a museum there observing his birthplace. Now, everyone is crushing Troy for the bad bet. It was not a bad bet if you look at the numbers. I'll explain. So Ben gets it right and doubles up to 25-6. Yogesh said, who was Farragut, and bet 5,200 because he was playing for the tie. Okay. Troy got it wrong, but bet 7,601. If he would have gotten it right, he would have been $1 above Yogesh. Instead, he was $1 below Ben. Ouch. Oh, boy. So that means Ben can seal it on Monday's game. And this is what happened on Monday. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Yogesh has 8,800, Troy 3,600, Ben 4,800. At the end of Double Jeopardy, Yogesh, oh boy, Yogesh goes in on 15,000 on the 11th clue with 15,200 and gets it right. Let's see if you know this one. This is in Under Horrors. The title of the 1962 Ray Bradbury novel is the Shakespeare line that rhymes by the pricking of my thumbs. That's an easy 2,000 if you know it.
Yeah. That would be up my thumb. Something wicked this way comes.
So
great movie, also, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So Yogesh is going to get his second win with this clue in Eurasia. Zvartnots International Airport serves this capital and has the code EVN, all letters found in the city's name.
What is okay. Yerevan, Armenia?
Correct. And Ben gets it right. Troy gets it right. And Yogesh says, what? Okay. I love this.
Should I do my game one wager over again?
And Yogesh says, if you can invent the time machine, you will retroactively win the TOC right now. So he bets nothing. So it's 2-2-1. Are we going to get a winner?
So on Tuesday, we have a situation where either Ben or Yogesh can wrap it all up, or Troy can force Game 7, the two best words in the English language. Here's how the game went. Troy, at the end of Jeopardy, has 9,400. Yogesh has 5,400. Ben has 3,400. And it is basically Yogesh Troy, Yogesh Troy, Yogesh Troy. The first daily double. Ben actually doubled on it, and the second one, Ben lost on it. So
yes, he did, and I knew that one, which is
I got it right here, actually.
Yep, I have it too. If you want it,
all right. Mind the gap. Near this is a 1200 level clue, by the way. Near where Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee meet, you'll find this pass named for a son of George II. I know this because I've been there before.
And what is the Cumberland Gap? So, so at the end of Double Jeopardy, Yogesh 16-6, Troy 19-8, Ben 3200.
You know what? If Yogesh and Troy bet against each other, Ben can easily snipe this.
Okay, so this glandular organ. Oh, I'm sorry. The category is the human body. This glandular organ.
Because I know what it is.
This glandular organ starts to shrink at puberty and is known for where the cells key to adaptive immunity develop. And by the way, Ben goes 6-for-6 in Final Jeopardy with thymus.
Yep, okay? That's where the T cells originate.
Right.
And Ken says as much. Right. Yogesh went with spleen and only bet 3201. Troy.
Because that's actually the right play. Because he was expecting, if Troy gets it right, he's okay. If Yogesh gets it right, he's the champ. What happened with Troy?
Troy said, "What is pituitary?" By a score of 13,399 to 6,399 to 6,400, Yogesh Raut is your 2024 Jeopardy Grand Champion.
And with that, he's got an invite to Jeopardy Masters.
And a $250,000 check to go with it.
Right. Now, Gordon, this was a spectacular tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? Not only was it a spectacular tournament, these are all great tournaments, and I just absolutely love this new format. And I think you guys do, too. I mean, it's not new now, but I love this format.
I do. It makes every game matter for something.
Right, exactly, because you don't have the, in other words, the wild card games when you were like, oh, I can only bet a certain way and see if I could supposedly get in. Every game matters. It's like college football. You know what I mean, in a way?
Uh-huh.
So, but tonight we're starting a new tournament, the final tournament before regular play. This is the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament to get the fifth member of Jeopardy Masters, right?
This is the feeder tournament that will feed into next summer's, or I guess I should say this summer's, Jeopardy Masters tournament. And we start with three greats of the game, all of which we've met before, all of which are awesome people. We have Andrew He of Concord, Pam Mueller from Chicago, and Dan Pawson from Arlington, Virginia. And like we said, every game matters. So going into the final, we have Dan at 6,400, Pam at 16,800, and Andrew in a lock tie position for 33,600. Now, this is where you have to answer the question. Do I want to win now or do I want to win later? If Andrew wants to win now, he bets $1 and tries like hell to get it right. If he wants to win later, he bets nothing and hopes for a favorable tiebreaker clue.
Well, here's the final Jeopardy in Trailblazers. The foremost member of the Sochi Six, which was similar to a previous U.S. group, he died in a plane crash in 1968. Ask me a hard one. Because I'll tell you how I got the clue. Because Sochi is in Russia. Russia, plane crash, pirate, Yuri Gagarin. Okay? Dan and Pam get it wrong because they thought it was UN Secretary General's. Wrong. Excuse me. Right idea, wrong train. Andrew gets it right. and he moves on to the semifinals because he bet a dollar, and we will find out more about the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament next week. Now, I'm assuming we get to talk about some other stuff, too, here, don't we?
Yeah, we do, because...
Oh, because Jeopardy is finally acknowledging, well, not finally, but really acknowledging the fact that they're 60 years old this
year.
Yep,
they turned 60 at the end of this month, March 30th, 1964. That was the very first game of Jeopardy ever broadcast on television, thanks to NBC.
Which is also now Jeopardy Day, which would be, this is like the third annual Jeopardy Day, if I remember.
Yes, and again, you know what you like to do during the Jeopardy Day? Take the online quiz. You could be the next legend. But Jeopardy is celebrating its diamond celebration, and it kicks off on March 30th with the launch of the Why Not You campaign. Again, a recruitment initiative intended to inspire more possible contestants, maybe even people listening to this podcast right now, to take the Jeopardy Anytime test. The best of the brightest hopefuls will be invited to take the test for a chance to compete on the show. And then from April to December, we have a whole lot of live events. There's going to be a live recording of the Inside Jeopardy podcast. April 12th at Edge at Hudson Yards. You know where that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, okay, I'll explain this to you, because I actually have this up. And man, I got to save my ducats for this, or ask Michael Davies nicely. So this is going to be at April 12th at the Edge at Hudson Yards. They will be able to sip on potent potables, meet and mingle with the Jeopardy champions, and shop exclusive merchandise. And there's going to play a game with Kent Jennings. Now, if you want to just get in, it's $40. You get a signed photo and a tote bag for $160. But if you want the cocktail party and all that stuff, you got to pay $196.40. Now, the tickets will go on sale a week from today. That is Wednesday, March 27th at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Okay. So that will be. So if I get. So this is a. April 12th is a Friday. Oh, I'm good. Okay. So, yeah. So that's cool. They're going to do it all across the country. Can't wait for that.
Yep.
By the way, if anybody asks, well, why doesn't the other person of the three-person team apply for Jeopardy? There's a very simple answer, which is I would not get past the casting producer. Because I know some people who know some people.
Jay, man. And I do not know the people that Gordon knows. So, yeah.
No, and the thing was is that we've already had our time. But I want my second chance.
One more tournament with people who lost to Runaways in the beginning of season 35. Just saying. That's oddly specific. Okay.
It is. Yeah, exactly. It is very oddly specific, but yes, we do want that. But we need to go from the Sony Pictures Studios to the Human Resources Department at RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay.
This makes sense. Trust us.
So in the mini challenge,
wrong season.
Okay, so in this particular, the mini challenge was called Spill the Tea. Basically a Big Brother-esque type game where the people who matched each got $100, like who's the loudest queen, who's the shadiest queen, you know, things like that. Sophia Kristal had 9 questions right, got $900, and added $2,500 tip, okay?
So in total, $3,400.
Yes. So the main challenge was the queens must write and deliver a drag awareness employee seminar. The queens assigned groups were the following. Plain Jane and Q had Do You Know Your Drag Herstory? Dawn and Mia Iman LePage, Drag in the Workplace. And Morphine Love Dion, Nymphia Wind, and Sophia Kristal, Are You a Drag Queen? You Might Be Surprised. Now, before we go into this, Gordon, you saw the show, right?
Of course.
Okay. Now, you saw that Nymphia Wind went and did a stereotypical Chinese woman accent or Oriental accent, okay? And she was, I wouldn't say criticized. She was like, they were like, it was funny, but I wouldn't do that. Where do you land on this?
You know, that's a really good question. You've seen queens before lean into their ancestry and their ethnicity for various shades of controversy. You know, one of the more controversial ones that I saw was Manila Luzon in Snatch Game in the third season, playing Imelda Marcos with all the shoes and and other things like that. I guess it's okay if you can sort of laugh about it, but I'll guarantee you, if any other drag queen not of that ethnicity did something like that, they would have been raked across the coals. And I think that's part of the issue that Morphine Wind, I get it, she is going to be one of the, if not the highest rated Asian that's going to be there. You know, she's got to get to the finals to get the Jujubee. Because, and Manila Luzon, for that matter, they both came in second. They haven't come in first.
Right.
I'm sorry, Manila Luzon coming in third. Actually, I think they both came in third, if I remember correctly. But my point is, she's going to be one of the highest to get to the finals if she does do that. Does she win because of that? Because they are sort of hedging her on that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my thoughts on that.
So,
but the only reason why she gets away with it is, because again, she got away with it. I'm not sure. I am definitely not sure if that has the exact same thing if someone else does it.
Right, because Joel Kim Booster, who happens to be Asian, was a little, tentative in his approval because of that. I'll use the word tentative there. So, and I will just say, Plain Jane and Q were very good. Mia Iman LePage, oh my God, that was the first bad
that
part of her.
That was absolutely garish.
Right.
But
so,
you know what? And aside from leading into ancestry, you also lean into identity. Q, because the runway was
flashback
DragCon 1980. Q wore this red and white number inspired by the work of Keith Haring. Keith Haring, of course, famous artist who died of AIDS-related complications in the late 80s, early 90s. Q revealed to the world that she is herself HIV positive. And, you know, that's the sort of thing that, A, it develops yourself as a person inside and outside of the game. And B, it comes across as genuine to the judges.
It does. Well, no, I thought that was a very bold personal move to say, and I respect the hell out of it. And by the way, the Q's runway was absolutely spectacular. That AIDS ribbon and the Keith Haring art was just great. Okay. Was Sophia Cristal and Q was like, what? You know?
Yeah. You know, I would have given it to Q, but that's just me.
Right. So then it was Mia and Morphine. Dawn was the other one. And the song was Dim All the Lights. Oh, and by the way, first of all, number one, Mia's bodysuit and hair look, no good. No good at all. Unflattering.
You just want to look at that. Yeah. When you see the challenge performance and you see the runway performance and you see her lip sync performance, you just want to look at that and say, are you trying to lose this week?
Yeah, she did. Pretty much. And Mia.
Because you're doing a really good job. Just saying.
So we are down to our final six of Dawn, Morphine, Nymphia, Plain Jane, Q, and Saphira. So, and Gordon, they are the best six, correct? Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do agree with that. No question about it.
Okay. So, yeah. So now, And we'll find out what happens next week. So now we have to go. We have to rewind the time machine in a way. We have to rewind the time machine.
Multiverse.
Thank you. To October 2022. Okay. When the beginning of Amazing Race 36/35 began. Okay. Because this
was
I know this is a little confusing, folks. This technically should have been Amazing Race 35, but the filmed Amazing Race 36 was broadcast in front of Amazing Race 35. So now Amazing Race 35 is technically Amazing Race 36. Got it?
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. So we start with 13 teams in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Okay, and they have to, all the teams have to get their clue in their backpack and find the Valiadores, which are Mexican acrobats who are flying around, and right near there is a clue box. Okay. Okay. So then,
this is at the Westin Resort and Spa in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Yeah. Right. So, but here's the problem. Here is the problem. One team got incredibly lost, and I'm not going to say who it is just yet, but oh boy, did they have trouble. Oh, did they have trouble. Okay. So then they get a detour, which is pick them up or pin them down. Pick them up. They had to get a pair of rocking horses down a steep hill to the sculpture in search of reason in order to receive their next clue. In pin them down, NAWC crossover, baby. The teams had to watch a Lucha Libre match and match the masks to who they were fighting in a quick, what is it, 5-minute battle royal or yes. Something to that? 30-second battle royal.
Battle royale. They have to match up the 5 tag teams with their masks in order to receive the next clue. In either case, the clues led to Lenzo Charo Miguel Prado Ibarra, and right. The first roadblock.
Who wants to be Loopy? They had to complete, yeah, because they had to complete a Charo challenge and not Coochie Coochie. What they had to do was jump through seven
lassos,
right, in order to receive their next clue, which got to the pit stop, which was the Plaza de los Arcos del Malecón. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the team that was eliminated because they were just awful. Maya and Rohan, not only did they get lost, one of the team members actually blocked the car in the road that they were sideways. You saw this. This was not pretty. It was not even pretty at all.
This was it's like Maya and Rohan, aside from being lost, I feel like they've been done dirty.
Yeah, really. It was terrible. So here we are. So Rod and Leticia finished first. But did they win anything? Nope. Why? Because they're still racing, and as all the other teams are. This is what we call a mega leg, right? Would you call this a mega leg?
This a mega leg.
Okay. So we're going to continue. Oh, and by the way, as we said, Maya and Rohan were eliminated, and it was not pretty. But next week, we're going to go back to Puerto Vallarta to finish the Mega Leg and see who is eliminated again.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Rod and Leticia, that's Rod Gardner in a BS Big Show crossover, and his wife, Leticia, are first. And instead of getting a prize, they are told to keep racing. So that's where we are going to pick up next week. Meanwhile, we're going to take a charter flight to just off the Pacific coast of Panama and
deal island. And you know what? Someone tried to do the right thing. It didn't work.
You can only do the right. You can do the right thing and still lose. That's not a failing. That is
no,
life.
No, I don't know what episode you guys are seeing, but okay, keep going.
Okay, so
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to be ready to whack both of you at this point.
Okay.
You wake up and you're ready to whack us. Anyway, so we start with two teams. On one team, we have Dawson, Kim, Stephanie, Nick, and Boston Rob. On another team, we have Jordan, Miranda, Aaron, Alyssa, and Amy. The two teams have to ride a boat to platforms, pick any pair of cases. Then the second part of the adventure has sort of like a blind man's bluff sort of situation, or I call shenanigans. One player would have the option of looking in their cases and try to bluff their opponent in choosing the case with the lower value. Or they could guess which of their opponent's cases have the higher value. In either case, the cases will go on the deal or no deal board at the temple that night. In short, Amy's team won by a score of 3.015 million to 2.9 million, and they are safe. And more importantly, Amy gets to choose one person from the losing team to play deal or no deal. This is where she gets everything right. She goes with Boston Rob.
No, this is where she gets everything wrong.
Okay, tell us why very quickly.
Could not have played a worse game than that. Could not have played a worse move. And here's the issue with why. If you're trying to get rid of Boston Rob and take him out of the game, you pick anyone else to play that you know if they win. And by the way, the odds of you winning are better than the odds of you losing, because as long as you play a normal game, you have at least a 50-50 shot to stick around. And as you see from how Boston Rob played the game, during his round, there are 12 left. There was 3 better, 9 worse. And obviously, he took the deal with a 75% chance of staying in the game, and he did.
Yep. The deal, by the way, was for $49,000 with...
But that's besides the point. The point is that he won based on that. If you want to get him out of the game, you have someone else play it. They win, and then you get rid of Boston Rob that way. You don't give the person that you want to have be eliminated from the game any chance of sticking around, and that is exactly what happened. That is why that is a terrible strategy if you wanted to get rid of Boston Rob.
So, and Rob wins his deal or no deal game. How much did they add into the final case?
It was 49,000. So the final case is now worth 1.054 million. By the way, Rob was holding on to a case worth $500. And Rob decides, you know what? Kim's been here too long. Thanks for playing.
It's not Kim's been here too long. It's Kim has actively and openly vied to eliminate Rob. So in something that is traditionally a survivor play, you need to get rid of the people who are looking to get rid of you. And that's what he did. Kim leaves completely delusional, going, oh, my God, how could this happen to me? Blah, 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 blah. I can't believe Rob did that. Of course he's going to do that. Because if you won, you're getting rid of him. Durr.
Yep.
I know.
Meanwhile, there is a plot twist.
What's that?
Okay. Earlier, the players had to decide who amongst them was the most trustworthy. They have decided that Aaron was the most trustworthy, and he is asked to stay at the temple while everybody else returns to base camp. Why? To be continued.
And finally,
We got money, and I would like for you to direct your attention to the screens, because I have the clip from Wednesday's edition of Marvel Week on Wheel of Fortune. Here we have Beto Barrero, who has a wild card and $27,000 in cash. Now he's going to play for $100,000. Will he do it? Here's the clip, courtesy Sony Pictures Television. And by the way, he has no one there rooting for him. So he's playing with Black Panther and Captain America.
It's a phrase. You have 10 seconds to tell us what's up there. Good luck.
We are in a hurry.
Well, then solve the puzzle. Let me ask you something. Yeah. You already got the cruise. You're happy about that?
Yeah.
Would you like some confetti? Is that good?
Yep, Berto, they're going to call you Confetti Man with $100,000.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
The things you got to do.
Thank you, can I hug you?
$121,917. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Way to go.
What a night.
And I believe that is the highest winner overall this year. I believe. Not 100% sure, but that's pretty close.
That is pretty close indeed. And you know what? If I ever win $100,000 on Wheel of Fortune, I want Captain America and Black Panther next to me.
Yes, exactly.
But hey, this has been a really, really fun season, and this has been a really, really fun week.
We got a lot of more news to talk about and a new game, so let's head to break.
Yes, with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1, your home where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different ways, or 22 different coaches, I should say, that are going to be playing their own version of Fire Me, Please, right before the NCAA tournament.
John Calipari.
Damn it. Jay, get out of my head.
Or the Long Beach State coach that has already been fired.
Already?
What?
Much madness.
He's going to have absolutely nothing to play for tomorrow.
We'll be back after this.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
WLTI has been brought to you by Place Bets Now.
You can
bet on football, game show reality results, but hopefully not on your own team in baseball. We hope.
Let me bet on Ohtani and his translator.
Shohei Ohtani host. Oh, God. Okay. Ohtani-san had to know something. Something, maybe?
There is absolutely no way. No way that there's $4.3 million gone from his account and he doesn't realize it.
Yeah. And it's like he's smart enough to know that he's done for, but not smart enough to keep his translator out of trouble.
Just saying, dude. But Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris, as always. Doug Morris is on all social media at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, at Tracks Productions, and at Doug Morris Games. Thank you, Brain. And, of course, he is on the air every Sunday doing Rock Tracks with Doug Morris, which has an anniversary coming up. We got to mention the anniversary. More on that next week. But in the meantime, listen to him on Rock 104 WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial all over the Pine Belt. and of course, all over the known
multiverse
at rock104fm.com and the WXRR Rock 104 and Odyssey apps.
By the way, I hand painted the peacock belt.
Oh, it looks lovely.
It's time for some business.
NBC this summer has a game plan that includes, of course it includes the Paris Olympic Games, but it also includes a brand new season of America's Got Talent.
Duh.
A brand new season of American Ninja Warrior.
Duh.
A brand new season of Weakest Link.
Cool. Nice
and
job,
Eric. And, of course, more new episodes of Password and The Wall. The Wall will return July 1st.
Are they still burning episodes from the last season, or are they film new stuff?
I have absolutely no idea. All I know is they're burying it in July 1st.
Okay. But I'm looking here and there ain't a certain show on there, which I'm really glad there isn't really.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but right now, let's bring out the date book, shall we?
Yeah, it's more of a date post-it note. Thursday, that's March Madness. The brackets begin. And then, of course, on next Wednesday show, we will open with the Hamtaro Shredder. Saturday is the season finale of... Oh, wow, you have it. Very good. Bracket busted already, and the games haven't even started. High Stakes Poker is the season finale. And then Monday is the season finale of your favorite show, Chico, The Bachelor. But let's talk about that app, though. And I'm interested in this one. Yeah.
All right, I can hear our good friend Kim scream, "Stay in your lane!" from here, because this episode of Dad Apto involves one Jimmy Donaldson, a.k.a. Mr. Beast. Why are we talking about Mr. Beast? Because
Amazon Prime Video has actually greenlit a show called Beast Games, I believe it's called.
That is correct.
Where 1,000 people will compete for life-changing prizes, which is sort of a bigger, better version of what he does on YouTube, which is some crazy stuff. Yep. But now, Gordon, I respect this, but don't you think this might be just a scotch a little too late, or no?
Oh, absolutely not. It's if they get a fraction of the millions of people that Mr. Beast has online with their videos. Let's just say 20% would be higher than most regular network shows.
So, well, no, he's got 20% would be 36 million, I think, right? Because he's okay.
Yeah, I would take those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we didn't even mention the top prize for the winner.
What is it?
It is. He says, this is going to be the biggest prize ever offered on a game show, $5 million. And then I'm like, hold up, slow your roll there, Jimmy. Power of 10 is a thing that exists.
Correct. Lots of shows are...
Wait. They haven't given it out with the exception of Million Second Quiz.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. Though if you're looking at it from a cumulative standpoint, Jeopardy has done that in spades. But we shall see. Anyway, I still think it's a great idea. I think that is very, very cool.
Very, very cool and also very, very smart.
It is.
Not so much.
That's dumb.
Are you smarter than Samantha Fox?
Samantha Fox.
Yes. Excuse me. I remember back in the 80s where there were lots of posters of her not very clothed in very different
places. She was wearing nothing but a smile.
In certain places, yes.
Yes.
But
unfortunately, she wasn't wearing a smile on an aircraft, which was, oh, geez. She was allegedly causing a drunken disturbance on a flight ahead of its takeoff. She was kicked off of a British Airways flight after allegedly getting into a dispute with another passenger, leading to her arrest.
And of course, put it to you this way, Gordon, you know two, I know at least two songs of hers. The most famous one, of course, Touch Me, I Want Your Body. And of course, I Want to Have Some Fun, right? I think that
I know
was
a third. I know a third yes. song. Naughty Girls Need Love Too.
Yeah, that's true also. I mean, she also did Love House. She's done a lot of things.
Okay. But was she drinking Haterade, though?
Haterade!
All right, this is... Well, before we get into the Haterade, before we get into the main course, here's a little bit of an amuse-bouche, and there is somebody's finger in this amuse-bouche.
Who's that?
Rain.
All right. Yep.
Okay. Remember earlier we talked about NBC over the summer? We did not mention one show, and for good reason. Hot Wheels Ultimate Challenge has been canceled.
To the shock of absolutely no one.
Hot Wheels have gone cold.
Yes, the Hot Wheels have gone cold because it was not that good of a show. This was strike programming at its best. So
yeah.
And by the way, for those wondering, wait, what game shows has Samantha Fox been on? Maybe not a lot in the U.S. However, she's been on many foreign game shows, including Chanteur's Masque, in English known as The Masked Singer, Celebrity MasterChef as a contestant. And so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Because I know we didn't mention that, so I'm mentioning it.
That's cool. No problem. That's great. That's great. But
and
the
also Pointless Celebrities, by the way, 2019.
Oh, all right. Cool.
But that is the amuse-bouche. And even though Samantha Fox was the Celebrity Master Chef, let's get the main course.
Oh, this is some heavy steak. So what happened was that People Magazine did an interview with disgraced producer Mike Richards 2 years after he got kicked off by being the producer of Jeopardy and the host of Jeopardy for, you know, due to Claire McNear's article in The Ringer, the book Answers in the Form of Questions, and the fact that he was anti-Semitic and misogynist on his podcast. Correct?
Yeah, in short, he did an interview with People where he, A, apologizes without really apologizing, and B, seems to blame everyone and everything for his fall from grace except for himself.
Now, Gordon, I can actually tell you what I think this is. Okay.
Okay, why don't you? I mean, I've got my own opinions on it.
Okay, what I think this is this is a media resurrection tour. He's trying to resurrect his career, and we don't know what I don't know where we're going here with that.
Yeah,
you know?
Where exactly is he going?
I think that also means that he may be in prime position for something. We don't know what the something is yet.
Right. Because remember, he's only 41 years old.
48.
Okay. 46. I'm sorry. 46. I thought he was 41. Okay. But the question is that do you think he's going to resurface somewhere?
Oh, completely. Yes. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. It may not be in the U.S., but I think he will. He's, you know what, whether you like him or you don't, or whether you think he's misogynistic, which he probably is, he is very talented. He knows what he's doing. And you need those sort of people, especially in this era where, again, Prime is going to be getting shows. Netflix already has game shows. There's going to be many opportunities out there. And for someone who's got the intelligence that Mike Richards has, he's going to be in demand somewhere. And I completely agree with you. This may be used to soften the blow.
I also, you know, I mean, look, do I believe what he said that Sony picked him instead of, you know, in a focus group instead of himself? No, I don't. I don't. But like, what
and here's the thing that I don't get. He said, I always thought that Ken was the guy. Then why did you end up hosting if you thought Ken Jennings was the guy? Make sense.
I can't make it make sense, but here's the interesting thing. The fact that he is doing I agree with Gordon. There's something in the pipe that's going to be announced sooner rather than later, I'll say.
Right, right.
Okay. Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he's playing it close to the vest. He's playing it close to the vest, and you know, Sunshine is the greatest disinfectant, as Claire McNeil proved. She came out with that.
But again, it's very interesting to see where this will go. But I also will say that the Mike Richard era on The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, with, you know, for whatever you say of it, if that didn't happen, they may not be around where we are right now. Okay? Because Mike Richards took Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right into the 21st century in a really positive way. For the most part, was the backstage stuff disgusting? Yes, but I'm talking about what he did on the screen. That's all. I can separate the two. You know, just saying. That's where I'm at.
Well,
so
anyway, where do you think we shall be going to see his next new game show?
How about the UK by way of Korea? Because okay. ITV has a new version of the Korean format, the Genius Game, which will see the country's most brilliant minds take part in challenges in order to win a cash prize. You have to have a high intellectual prowess and social IQ to be able to take part in these never-before-seen games to test your skills head-to-head in this show. The person they get to host this show, the person who is driving the ship, he's won a BAFTA. No, he's won two BAFTAs. He's won two Emmys. He is my favorite doctor. Well, two of my favorite doctors. David Tennant.
He's going to do very well. He really is.
Yep. Katie Rawcliffe of ITV says, David Tennant is the perfect ringmaster to preside over this battle of brain power, teamwork, and deception. We're delighted to be bringing Genius Game to the ITV audience. Please, oh, please let there be an American version, and please, oh, please get David Tennant to host it.
Agreed. So he is definitely a Whovian media pro.
A media Whovian.
Media Whovian, yes.
In this week's Media Pro report, Trishel Caratella wants to hire an unconscious bias coach. However, that will help her. Derek Huff hopes that Haley Herbert will rejoin him on Symphony of Dance Tour. We have winners in the GLAAD Media Awards. Congratulations to Ted Lasso, RuPaul's Drag Race, Yellow Jackets, Bottoms, and Niecy Nash Betts. Alyssa Ragu returns to American Idol 6 years after her audition, because of course she did. Shangela is accused of multiple cases of SA. Melissa Peterman will reunite with Reba McEntire on her pilot for NBC. Jimmy Kimmel is producing a reality series centered around weed, launching on Hulu. When else? April 20th.
420, baby. Smoke him if you got him, baby. Smoke him if you got him.
Kathy Swartz and Susan Knowles will host the Bachelor Happy Hour podcast. You remember them from The Golden Bachelor. Taylor Tomlinson gets a pack of small advertisers for After Midnight. Joey Grazia-Day is not here for racist trolls calling out The Bachelor.
Oh, and by the way, she also did a PSA for Women's History Month for CBS as well.
CBS cares.
Yes, CBS cares, yes.
Chloe Beach feels free and 100% herself after coming out. Stu Barker is among the leading names on the Queen's Birthday's honors list. We have a date for season 6 of The Circle. Catch it on April 17th. Can't wait.
Hey, Mercedes, what do you think about that?
Moment of silence. Moment going. Next.
Good.
Of course, Kristen Kish, the new host of Top Chef, will talk about her first episode next week. But in the meantime, here is your hoe of the week. Sorry, your pro of the week in every sense of the word. Are you smarter than Travis Kelce?
Yes, because again, let's go back to Amazon Prime because... Yes. Because they are green. Well, there he is rumored to be in talks to be the third host of a show called Are You Smarter Than? But in this particular case, they are doing some taped shows, in early April.
Yep.
Of something called Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? This is from OSLA. I do not know if these are pilots or actual gameplay, but they're doing instead of they're going to be kids, they're going to be celebrities.
Well, the thing of it is, they're doing like a whole week's worth of shows, so who knows how that's going to happen. They need audience members, so if you go to oslaproductions.com and look for Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, it's all the information is right there. It's a paying gig up to $120.
I have a question for you, Gordon. What do you think about A, Kelce as a host, and B, the fact that it's going to be it's not going to be kids, it's going to be celebrities?
Okay. So Kelce as a host, I don't have an issue with. The celebrities, mileage will vary. On that, because at least with the kids, I mean, obviously the celebrities are going to try their best, but you know the level of kid intelligence was very good. I mean, obviously they'll slip up once in a while, but they're usually good. This almost feels like The Wheel Part 2 in that sort of way, and I didn't like The Wheel Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, we'll see.
Okay. Well, bringing up a valid point here, between this and Beastgapes, and Takeshi's Castle, and Road to a Million. Is it possible that Prime Video is in its game show era?
No, I think they're in the we're going to throw everything against the wall and see what sticks era.
Okay, well, speaking of sticks, sometimes it'll stick, and sometimes it'll shake it off the wall. But it's time, Gordon, to
so
close
I guess
up
this gig was tailor-made for him?
Oh, God, Gordon, just close the... Close it.
Daniels are your pros.
Thank you. Good grief. But we have a new game, right, G? This is one you came up with.
I did, and we're gonna play it after this.
Here on WLTI. This is 5-1. We will be right back.
Let's go. WLTI is presented by The Quiz with Basketballs. Yes, we have 68 contestants representing 68 schools, and if they answer a question correctly, they get to stay around. But if not, their bracket is busted, and they get to get hit by a bunch of basketballs, especially the three ball, which is, I have a feeling, is going to be the weapon of choice in this year's NCAAs. Jim Nance hosts. Hello, friends.
All right. Oh, my God. I see a sunset.
I hear a baby.
That only means one thing. That only means we have a new game here at WLTI. What is it? I have no idea.
It is called Tactician's Corner. Now, you know, we always grade the shows and the game shows, which we should, but we never grade how people are playing them.
Okay.
So we're going to grade. Shall we grade?
We'll grade. Let's do it. All right.
All right. So we're going to have some fun with this, I think. So, and we're going to start with Survivor. And
okay.
Q. Rate his gameplay.
Q is basically keeping out of drama as best as Q possibly can. He was telling Banu, yo, calm your stuff down. But at the same time, that first challenge did not do him any favors. Overall, Q's game gets a B-. He still has time to ingratiate himself with the rest of the tribe and act as a team player, but so far, pretty much in it for himself.
Well, right now, I think a B- is the right play, because remember, he's only got now two other people to deal with. Once he gets more other people, it could go down or could go up, but right now, B-.
I'm going to deduct the letter. I'm going to say C-, because right now he's on dead team walking. And number one and number two, if they go back to tribal, you know the women are going to get rid of him. So he needs a buff swap in the worst possible way. The only good thing is, as you said, he hasn't made enemies. So maybe he'll have a shot to stick around and see some of the leaks. But if they lose again, he's gone. C-.
All right.
Okay, that's fair. That's cool. I like this so far. Keep going.
Next one. And we mentioned him, Boston Rob, Deal or No Deal Island.
Oh, boy.
Boston Rob is basically an expert at the Boston Rob Mariano School of Gameplay. And he's applying his trickerations to Deal or No Deal Island. Think of it as there are more than one people who are getting hip to his style of gameplay, and they want him gone as soon as possible, forcing Rob to, I know it doesn't look like he's scrambling, but he is definitely on plan B at this point. Overall, Boston Rob gets a B because he is playing the game masterfully, but he's also playing the game on his feet.
Wrong. Boston Rob is actually getting a D from me. You want to know why? Because he's actually a cartoon character of himself. He's not playing Boston Rob. He's Boston Rob playing Boston Rob. There's nothing authentic here. This is the Boston Rob greatest hit collection. It's a D for me.
I'm going to split it up the middle and go C. I think he reminds me of his play on Survivor Season 4, which is the debut of what he saw with him on Survivor. The good news is he's playing as well of a game as he can possibly humanly play, even putting himself in there. The bad news is that he's pissed half the island off. So the social media part of the gameplay is terrible. And then in addition to that, you know, the next time he has no control over the game, he's out the door. So he's like dead Boston Rob walking also for the exact same issue that Q has, which is he no longer has the game in his own hands, and he better start trying to make alliances and trying to get on people's good graces, because if not, he's screwed.
All right. Number four, Gordon.
Actually, number three. And oh, we'll right. do Yogesh Rao, Jeopardy. Obviously, he won the Tournament of Champions, but greatest play.
Well, we always talk about the metagame. You can't just know facts. You also have to be good on the buzzer. You also have to be savvy with your wagering. And Yogesh pretty much elevated it by, I don't know about you, but it seems like he was getting into everybody's head. So, overall, Yogesh Rao gets an A, strictly for his gameplay. He was okay. very laser focused when he finally got to where he needed to be.
I'm thinking. If not for that wager in the first game, he would have actually had it within five. So I'm going to deduct a little bit, but A minus. Okay.
I'm going to deduct a little bit more, B plus. He won, which is why he gets B plus. He didn't look very impressive doing it. And yeah, he is, by the way, he is a friend of the show. So.
And also the fact that he also played with his teammate, Troy Meyer. I mean, look, what I also saw was the fact that the camaraderie was excellent. It really was. Okay.
Well, the camaraderie is all nice and fun, but if you want to win the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, oh, by the way, that's the next one, it's got to be less camaraderie and more cutthroat. And if mm-hmm. he does not have that gear, he will not be winning it. But he did, obviously, he won the whole thing, so he didn't stink. He did very good, but this game must be up for him to win the next level.
And especially when he goes to Jeopardy.
Of course, is not going to have that same camaraderie that he wants to have.
Mm-hmm. And also, remember, he's also dealing with Matamodio, Matea Roach, and James Holzhauer. So that's a whole different ball game come Jeopardy Masters this summer.
Oh, man. I cannot wait to see what he has to say after he meets up with the likes of them.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Next one, because I think this person may be the dark horse of winning RuPaul's Drag Race, Plain Jane.
Dark horse, my butt. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Plain Jane is the odds-on favorite. She's been doing absolutely everything right. She's been playing to her strength. She's been endearing herself to the competition. She's basically giving herself over to the experience. Overall, Plain Jane gets an A+. She's playing the game the way it should be played.
What the hell show have you been watching? What show have you been watching? She's been a shade queen. She made the wrong play giving her immunity potion to Nymphia Wind, and she's apt, put it to you this way, she's talented, yes, but as a personality, she sucks. Her game, her grade is a B, if that.
Oh, I agree with Jason completely on this. I definitely don't think that Plain Jane's a favorite. I think the favorite by far and away is Sophia Cristal. So I agree with Jay. I think a B is the correct grade. I think, and again, Jay's absolutely right. She's a shade queen. Shade queens do not win. They don't. They need to be likable. She's cute. She's not likable. So I'll agree with a B.
Well, it could be worse. We could have the return of a mandatory meeting.
But a mandatory meeting is more likable than Plain Jane, believe it or not.
I have to wonder what show you've been watching.
Next one. Ricky and Caesar, The Amazing Race.
It's early, but it's good. I mean, again, it's one leg. You know, we haven't seen anything. It's been nice. They're a very happy couple who actually went back to the city that they love. But so far, good. For the moment. For one leg, it's an A.
I agree. And for one leg, it's an A. They've been very close. They've been very competitive. They've been as competitive as you can be without having won the whole thing. But, you know, this is a team to watch.
I'm going to say B. I think they've been very competitive, but I also think, as Jay has said, they've gone back to the home country that they've been to, and yet they did not win their leg. What's going to happen when they are in a place that they are not aware of? This, I expected them to win. They did not. I mean, call me the shade pepper, if you wish. But B.
Okay.
Last one. And I'm going to throw this out there. It's a little bit out of center field, but I think you'll understand where I'm going from with this. Mark Cuban, Shark Tank.
Ooh, okay. Honestly?
Honestly?
D.
No, I want you to lie.
No, I'm just saying. No, D, because I don't think he has made one successful deal that I can think of. So, I'm going to have to Google this as you talk, but right now, D.
Yeah, Mark Cuban, he's been pretty much chill for the last couple of years, and of course, now we have the news that this is going to be his last season on the Shark Tank, and overall, Mark Cuban gets a nap. Because he lacks the drive that he had in his early days, and it seems like he's playing the strand out.
I agree that he's playing the strand out, but he has had a number of successes on Shark Tank. He's also had a number of misses on Shark Tank. But his hits have been less of a commercial standpoint and more of an infrastructure one. So those aren't going to necessarily be the successes that you're going to be seeing live, but they are going to be the ones
It's very interesting because I looked this up just now. There is a website called Sharkalytics, which actually has the statistics. I did not know this. This is very cool. He has invested about $20 million on air in over 85 deals, okay, which is about 19%, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the most he has invested is $2 million in a company called 1031 Productions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. And yes, he's had some successes, but so what's your grade per se?
My grade to C. I think he's had some notable flops. And he's had a number of the deals that just never got done. So that goes against him. But again, he is a back-end sort of person, especially from that end. And as you said, the 1031 Productions is an example of this.
But I don't think he's worried too much about his success because, well, Luka Doncic, for one. And, you know, he's got a few billion dollars to hang out with, you know?
Absolutely.
So that is the first Tactician's Corner, I believe that's what it's called. I think we should do this again. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
But we won't do it next week because next week we're prepping for something incredibly special. But we'll talk more about that on the other side of this here on WLTI. We'll be right back.
Game Show NewsNet has been brought to you by, yes, the return of Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Because where Wolf packed them in, because Chico was also smug about Duke falling to North Carolina State. And, oh, by the way, how did UNC do against North Carolina State? Don't answer that, because I have the answer. The answer is the number 11 seed in the NCAA tournament that is packed it in, which is what UNC did, which is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Ramsey's done right.
I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my boss and my coworker. Shut up. Anyway.
Not a lot of time.
I love you, Chico.
Travel. Funny way of showing it. Anyway, not a lot of time. We're going to get right into the speed rounds right now. Okay, Wheel of Fortune had a $100,000 winner this week. Do we see the million?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
No. A Survivor. Do we get a 3-2 this coming week, or not?
I think we have one more week before that happens.
Okay.
Somebody's trapped in 1996. Amazing Race. Who's next to go?
Well, it's still too early to predict for me, but looking at it, I'm
looking at Chris and Mary, and if they don't get out of 11th, they're going to have a hard time.
Well, yeah, Amber and Vinny got lucky too because they were late as well and they got lost. So we'll see where it goes from there. What are we going to think about the new Top Chef, or is it going to be same as the old Top Chef?
I think it's going to be the same as the old Top Chef with a couple of added wrinkles along the way. I cannot wait to see it. And I cannot wait to talk about it.
I'm going to disagree with you completely. I think it's going to be very new. They've already talked about a number of changes that they're going to have for the show. So, can't wait.
Can't wait indeed. Deal or No Deal Island. Are they going to get the let's get rid of Rob thing right this week?
No. It's going to be a while. Okay. Rob's going to be in the...
I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. I think they will get their act together. I think they now see... Him getting rid of Kim has shown exactly just how much of a threat that he is. It's really going to depend who plays the game and who wins. If it's part of Rob's alliance and part of somebody else. But the key seems to be get control of the game.
All right. Via Amon LePage is finally eliminated on Drag Race. Now who's the low one on the totem pole?
The low one on the totem pole, let's see. You got Nymphia Wind. You got Plain Jane. Q. Dawn. Nymphia, and who else?
Morphine Love Dion, which I
Morphine Love Dion. Goodbye. Seriously, she's done too.
I'm gonna completely disagree with you on that. At least Morphine Love Dion has been on the top at one point. Hasn't won anything, but has been on the top. Dawn has just been there. I think Dawn goes. I think Morphine gets to hang around one more week. I think Dawn goes.
Okay, do we have any mail or any comments on our socials?
I'm guessing we're not. We don't.
No, we don't. But if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. We are on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
I am at GSNN Haterade.
And of course... the network is at 5&1net. That is the number 5&1net, all spelled out. And we talk about everything that's going on network-wide. For example, Jay and I and VRM did the last BS Big Show before the draft, and we had a lot of stuff to cover. Like, a lot. We wrapped up all of the deals to begin the league year. We talked about Clemson suing to get out of the ACC. We talked about Travis Kelce, obviously. And we talked a whole lot more about stuff. Saquon Barkley, you know what? Tampering. We talked about tampering.
So, yes, yeah. We did. We will definitely talk about that. Over at the NAWC... We will be talking about a killer Monday Night Raw, a pretty good Dynamite as we head towards WrestleMania in 2 weeks, I believe it is. Good grief. 2 weeks.
Where's all the time going?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty insane. 2 weeks before the story gets finished, maybe. But I will definitely be at the Go Home Raw on April 1st where The Rock will be. So that will be fun. A sold-out Brooklyn crowd, quiet and reserved, you know? So
you vocalizer always calm and politeful.
Yeah, exactly.
He is a Brooklyn Knight himself, yes.
Yes, exactly. Gordon, UBA, what's going on there?
Mega Bowl done. Well, right before Easter, obviously, we're not doing anything during Easter weekend. But right before then, we've got a couple of matches coming up. Not the World Championship Series, but a couple of tour stops. And setting it up for the last couple of months, the race to get the playoff spots starts in April. And it's going to be hot and heavy.
Oh, baby.
Okay. And, of course, UBA today done info for all your Underground Brawling Association needs. It was a thing. A new episode just will drop tomorrow, yes?
Actually, it is after midnight, so we have a new episode, and it is our last one of Lost in Translation block for 2024. We are covering Life on Mars, the story of what happens when a cop from 2008 is hit by a car and wakes up in 1973. By the way, it's not what you think it is if you're a fan of the original British. And I know you are, G, because you like John Sim.
I do. But yeah, I'm not very happy with the American version. But you'll get to that when you get to it.
Yes, we will. And that's it. It was a thing on TV.com. We also have
yes.
a bunch of stuff in the interim because we're doing one show a week for the time being.
Okay. But next week, oh boy, it's time, baby. It's
time. We get to hear Gordon sing One Shining Moment because March Madness is upon us. I've got my list. Jay's got his list. So wait for Gordon's list so we can come together in one gigantic cluster.
And maybe some others can bring their list in. Maybe. Hopefully.
If you're listening to this, you are welcome to give us your opinion on what was the worst shows of the last year. Just drop us a message. You know, interact. Engage. Be part of the WLTI experience, if you will. But all of that is coming up next week right here on 5-1 for everybody at 5-1. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.
Good night.